What's up, Dutch Nation? Today on the podcast, we've got our in-house motion graphics animator, Ryan Haberman. So Ryan never worked in the stands, but the guy has embraced the culture and just killed all the work he's done for us, the videos, social media, truly gifted, super proud to be his friend and coworker, and he's got a great story. He talks about taking risk, learning from your failures, going after what you love. He's definitely got some gold nuggets to share. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Ryan Haberman podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Dutch Bros podcast. My name is Mark Berry. Beside me is Shaneth Tappaneth.
Hello.
And a very special guest on the red couch for the first time ever, wearing our red couch shirt, Mr. Ryan Haberman.
Woo! Hey.
Habey baby is what we affectionately refer to him as.
Habey baby.
The Habey baby, yeah. So, Ryan, what do you do for Dutch Bros?
Primarily, I do motion graphics and animation and visual effects.
Yeah.
For the social media and video departments.
Motion graphics? What's that?
Well, basically, it's anything you see in a video or on screen that is not people or actors, graphics, titles, special effects, anything that would be made on a computer.
Yeah.
Is what I do.
For those of you who view a lot of our content, that sizzle, that pizzazz, just the what it makes it look rad. And
he brings the things that we see to life. You go to Kocha, he's the guy that created the intro video. Any video that's posted on the Dutch page or
on the gram,
or on the Instagram stories, if it's a moving graphic, that is Ryan Haberman's work.
Digital wizardry.
And he's actually the only one in the entire company that we have.
Yes, Brian was the first motion graphics animator we ever hired and the last. Yeah, he slays it. But also, I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's definitely room for one more in the near future, probably at some point, maybe.
I hope so.
We'll send you to Ryan, and he'll groom you into a master.
Right.
Come on. Your early days with Dutch Bros as a customer, what did you first drink as a youngin, and what are you currently drinking?
Well, right now I'm drinking just an Americano with cream, so Keto Kano.
Ooh, the heavy whipping cream.
Heavy whipping cream, yes. All right, cool. I do that probably 99% of the time. So Dutch Bros, it's been in my life for a long time because I grew up in Grants Pass.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
I am as old as this company, actually.
Oh.
I am 26.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been around for as long as I can remember. So I honestly don't remember, like, what my first drink was. It was probably a kicker.
Yeah.
And I've always liked the kickers. I love me my kickers.
Iced?
No, actually, I prefer hot kickers.
Oh.
Over ice kickers. I feel like the ice ones taste different.
I don't know. Is it still this way? It's been a while, but the iced ones had an extra scoop of
flavor. Yeah, it's
flavor.
Two scoops.
Maybe that's it.
It would definitely taste different, other than the obvious temperature and texture differences.
When it was iced during the scoop flow days, was it just...
It was too flat.
Too flat, yeah.
Too flat, 9-ounce, 20-ounce
That's
paper
how
cup.
I used to remember when I was training, drinks that would have two scoops. I called it AK9. Annihilators, kickers, and 901s.
Ooh.
So, hey, yeah, that's a little nugget for you kids out there.
That's right. The iced annihilator, the ice kicker, the ice niner, they always got two scoops.
So,
but
the
I could be butchering
one.
It now because I don't know. Everything's changed.
No, it's still those three.
Okay. Hey, if you're a manager and you're out there listening, hire me to work in the stands. I know my stuff.
So, Ryan, let's dive in a little to the early days. Motion graphics. So how did you get into that? Like, what drew you to that? Was it like when you were younger?
I guess like my career really started as a young kid. I was always interested in storytelling. It started out just with like writing. I did a lot of short stories and things like when I was a child, and I would make little comic books and stuff. And I even tried to write like a book, and all of these were terrible, by the way.
I doubt it.
Yeah, right. And then maybe in middle school, my parents had this camcorder from the 90s.
Oh.
Not a Super 8, but like Hi-Fi 8 or Hi 8.
You put like a VHS tape directly in it?
Yeah, or it was like a small cassette tape.
Oh, it was like, yeah, and then you converted that over.
Yeah.
Was it a JVC?
Yes, it was a JVC.
Flashback.
So I got a hold of their camera, and me and my little buddy across the street, Kyle Wells, who still works at Dutch Bros, by the way.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kyle. We just started making these stupid videos. Most of it was just us acting like fools in front of the camera.
You need to post one on the Dutch page.
Yeah. If I can find those and convert those.
Yeah. Sure.
That stuff is gold nowadays. There was that, and then I would make like little movies in my backyard with like action figures and G.I. Joes and try to do claymation, and I had no way to edit any of this because it was just on a cassette tape.
No, you had to rewind.
You had to rewind
and then
or
record over it if you made a mistake. Yeah, it was.
Or just stop the camera to like make a cut.
Yeah.
So like basically had to like think about it already edited and then film it that way.
I remember then. Those days. Brant and I, true story, way back when used to do those with like Ninja Turtle and like X-Men action figures. We made a ton of videos like that. We were like 25 and 27. No, that's awesome though. So I should also say that Habie definitely has a little bit of a film background too. He edits videos with us and is a shooter often. He knows how to work the camera. He's a Swiss Army knife, a Dutch Army knife.
A Dutch Army knife.
I'd say. So when did, I guess, the technology piece take over and you discovered some kind of software where you could start using your creative drive into something productive?
So it was high school. I went to Hidden Valley High School, and they offered video production classes there. And I was like, this is sick. I love doing this. It's with my friends, so it'd be awesome to like get in and actually like learn some stuff about this. And so I took the two video production classes that they actually offered. And then after that, me and my little group of film friends just like kept taking like business classes and then only doing video production during those classes and getting credit for it somehow. And that went all the way until my senior
public
year.
School system.
Public county school system.
County.
Well, they don't care. Give them a grade.
Actually, it was a great time, though, because I got to just experiment, basically, and just figure out whatever. Like, there really wasn't an agenda that much. We just like were told to go make videos, and so that's what we did. And it was probably some of the funnest years of my life. But so towards the end of my senior year of high school, we got a hold of Adobe After Effects.
Oh.
We totally pirated it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I mean, it's like at that time, like Adobe didn't have their Creative Cloud yet, so there was no subscription service. So like either you paid $10,000 for the software or you just stole it. So
you didn't pay the 10 G's? What?
So that's what we did. By the way, any visual effects artist, they've probably pirated something at some point in their life.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
And for the record, I'll just throw this out there. I've never used pirated software to make any money off of anything.
Just learning.
For the record, only for learning.
Good
work. If anything, he borrowed it.
Yeah.
I borrowed it to learn and make cool stuff. Okay.
He, myself, Sam, Phil, we all have a paid subscription on the Creative Cloud, and all our graphic design team. They got their money eventually.
Oh, yeah.
I was messing around with making like cool titles for our videos and like, I don't know, like blowing people up. Like literally, like we had a video where the concept of the video was every time he touches somebody, they explode. So that was one of our last videos before we left high school. And it was really ridiculous. Things like that happening. All kinds of fun special effects.
Yeah.
Getting ready to graduate, I had to figure out what I wanted to do, you know, with the rest of my life. And at that point, I was pretty sure I wanted to pursue something in the media / film world.
Yeah.
My dream is to be a writer-director of movies.
Yeah.
But I figured that there would be more jobs available in the visual effects world.
Yeah.
And so that's why I ultimately chose to go that route. And I ended up going to the Art Institute of Portland for college.
Portlandia.
This was before Portlandia was a thing. Let me tell you, that show messed up Portland for the good.
You know, from there, you did eventually land a job in a production studio. Maybe walk us through a little bit of the college experience and what you learned there, and then your first job and what that was like.
The college experience was kind of intense because I decided to do like an accelerated program. So basically, it's a 4-year bachelor's degree that's crammed into 3 years. I don't know what the credits were, but it was like more than full time.
Were you working as well?
I was also working a small part-time job at the school as a filing clerk in their finance department. Didn't really bring me that much income, but it was just something.
Yeah.
A little extra. So I got through college by just taking out loans, kids. please don't do that if you can help it.
Yeah. Good God.
Brings me stress and anxiety to this day.
Are you sweating?
<That's scary. laughs> No, it's just the weight of the debt around my neck. anyways, though, it was a good experience. And actually, because I wasn't working full time, it gave me a lot more time to focus on like figuring out projects and stuff, because a lot of the school was project based. Mm. I went into school for visual effects and motion graphics. That was the major. Mm-hmm. Spent 2.5, almost 3 years just learning the fundamentals of motion graphics and special effects for film. Mm. I did this weird thing where I crossed over. So there was a digital film and video major also offered at that school. And I was talking to one of my counselors there, and I was like, you know what? Motion graphics and visual effects isn't really what I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. And so they made a special allowance for me to like kind of cross over to the other major for the last part of my senior year and do a senior film, a short film.
Yes.
And as far as I know, I'm the only visual effects student that's done that at this point at that school.
Yeah. So you graduate college, you get like a position right away at a production studio in Portland.
Yes.
I mean, that must have been exciting.
Yeah, it was. I was in Tigard, actually, so on the outskirts of Portland.
Gotcha.
I won't mention their name for reasons that you'll find out about later, but right off the bat, it was like pretty awesome. I really enjoyed the team of people that I was working with, and I was an animator / motion graphics artist for them. Basically, everything that I do now for Dutch Bros and stuff, I learned on that job.
Nice.
Like in the trenches.
But you had enough of a background with After Effects and stuff that you could...
Right. I wasn't like fish out of water, but yeah, fake it till you make it. That's always good advice for any creative. I loved the team that I worked with, and it was a marketing firm. So they did these things called impact movies, which were all illustrated, animated explainer videos, basically, or like promo videos, like super corporate.
Yeah, now that I'm
like thinking back on it. But we had like a creative director and an art director, and they would kind of like run the show and be like, yo, this is what's going on. And then there was a whole team of illustrators who worked in, well, they worked in Illustrator.
Yeah.
The program Illustrator. Graphic designers, they would like build out the movie and then it would be sent over to the animators to finish it and make it move.
Yeah.
So I did that for a year and 2 months. And that was from late 2013 to the end of 2014.
And then what happened?
So, yes. So this company got weird. I'm like trying to think about how to explain this without saying too much. Basically, the owner of the company was not a nice guy and he had some problems and it just came out eventually and he ran his company into the ground.
Oh.
It went bankrupt and he wasn't going to tell us about it. HR called a secret meeting while he was out of town and told us what was going on. He's like, look, the company's bankrupt. And
they
had already
checks are going to bounce, basically.
Yeah, checks are going to bounce. They had already bounced a couple times before. And so we were kind of on edge. The company has no money. He's not going to pay you, but he's also not going to fire you guys. So we're like,
It's like Office Space.
Right.
We fixed the glitch. He just won't get a paycheck anymore. Eventually, he'll just figure it out and go away.
Excuse me. I was told that I could have the stapler if I...
Yeah. Yeah, Milton, exactly. Office Space rant. Sorry, Mike Judge is my hero.
You gotta Silicon watch that movie
Valley.
If you haven't.
Silicon Valley. If you've never watched that show, freaking watch it.
So basically, after that, how did you get involved with Dutch Bros?
And kind of also to piggyback on that, so what made you ultimately decide just to leave Portland after that?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's an interesting time for me. After that whole debacle with that company, we eventually were able to get a hold of the Department of Business or something.
Business Bureau, whatever.
Yeah. And they were like, yeah, this is a grave situation, so you guys can quit and still get unemployment. Mm-hmm. So that caused this whole crazy scandal with the court system, and he fought us on it, actually, but didn't show up to the court case. So the judge was like, whatever, you guys win.
Yeah. What a tool.
Yeah. I don't know. Where he is now.
Jail.
Yeah. I'm not really sure. And a lot of the people decided to go the unemployment route. Me, I decided to just like launch my own company like right away without knowing anything about running a company. And in hindsight, that was a bad idea. But I learned a lot about myself in that year. So the entire year of 2015, I was trying to run a freelance business. And at first, it was good because I was able to get clients just from other companies that used to work for that company that went bankrupt. I'd be like, okay, look, we'll do your work on the site and get it finished. That was how I got work for a while. But then it started, you know, stopping and I had to go find more work. And that's where it got hard because me, I'm kind of an introvert. I'm pretty quiet. I'm not really a people person. I am a lot more. I am a lot more now.
That was past tense.
Dutch Bros helped me a lot in that area. So I ended up getting into this like financial hole. I had to borrow a lot of money from my folks and my family to like even just stay in Portland. It was just a dark time in my life. I got really depressed. I was living by myself in a pretty crappy apartment and just trying to like make ends meet and not succeeding. So I was like at a breaking point. I just got to go home. My parents had told me to come home a couple times before that. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. Like, I felt like I'd be a failure if I did. I finally just gave in and came back. There was like about 6 months where I was living in Grants Pass and like, I didn't know what I was going to do next. And I was still really depressed. I got a job working at the school district here just as a teacher's assistant. Just to pass the time. And that was pretty cool, actually, working with kids. I enjoyed that, middle schoolers. And for a minute, I actually considered going back to school to become a teacher. Right when I moved back, I actually reached out to Phil here in the studio at Dutch Bros.
Philly Phil.
I've known Phil, well, he's known me for my entire life because him and my dad are friends. So he knew me when I was a baby.
Phil is old, ladies and gentlemen.
Phil's like 75, if you didn't know.
But he looks like 38, so props.
Yeah.
The surf, man. I love keeps you, Phil. Young. Yeah,
I love Phil, too. He's become a great mentor in my life.
He's a great guy.
I would say the same for mine.
Anyways, though, I reached out to Phil like right away, and I didn't hear anything from anybody at Dutch Bros or Phil for like months. I had one job offer from this company in Medford, and I did kind of this unofficial interview with them. And we were going to go out and film like waterfalls over in like the Central Oregon area.
You know, don't chase those.
Don't and, go chasing them. Yeah, this is a crazy story.
This
actually
is part of the reason why I got hired too.
Yeah.
Because I told them my crazy Thursday story. Anyways, but what happened in the course of that day is we saw a guy die of a heart attack. One of the waterfalls.
It took a dark turn.
Yeah. I mean, it was, and I'd never seen a dead body before, so that was very intense. And then, like, not even 2 hours later, we saw a major car wreck happen.
Oh, my God. You can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, it was, like, wild. And at that point, we're like, let's just go home. During that same day, while I'm on this unofficial interview, Phil calls me. And is like, hey, do you want to come into Dutch Bros for an interview? And I'm like, yes, right away.
Please.
Take me to a safe place, please.
Yeah. It was like bad omens with the other company. And so, yeah, came in for two interviews at Dutch.
One of them we made him play Butter.
Yeah.
Shooting hoops, baby.
Rest in peace, Butter.
Yeah, I know. We miss it.
We don't do that
no
anymore.
No more basketball hoop out here.
So you ended up getting hired. So how was it transitioning from like all that craziness to Dutch Bros?
Dutch Bros was just like it was a light. Such a crazy change in mood and like just the feeling of it.
Yeah.
It's such a positive company. I was so happy to be here and I'm still really happy to be here. Because I know what it's like to work for a terrible employer.
Yeah.
To be treated poorly. I've been here for 2 years and there hasn't been a day where it's felt like work to me.
That's awesome.
I've always enjoyed
I'm glad you made that comment. To all the youngsters out there where Dutch Bros is your first job, just don't take it for granted. Because that's always was my concern when I was managing of hiring anybody a little bit younger. Is like, I don't want them to think that this is how the normal workforce is. Most companies are not this nice and carefree and pump the music and have a good time. And, you know, like they're pretty rigid and strict and just sometimes mean. Like they just really just don't give a shit about you. So
It's very humbling to work here because us three, you know, we've all had worked other places and we all have stories of how bad things can actually be in the real world. Like here, you're more than an employee, you're family. Be thankful for everything that you have. Because it can definitely be way worse.
One thing Ryan forgot to mention, he was our fun little character promoting wild and elusive drinks, Mr. Weston Flexman.
Yeah, to all those people who follow us on Facebook, who might have seen...
It was Steve Irwin's cousin.
Yeah.
Weston Flexman.
This is Weston Flexman on the couch.
That's Weston Flexman, y'all. Ryan Haberman.
Oh, my God.
If you haven't seen it, watch The Vampire Slayer.
Shane was Dracula.
Yeah, I dressed up as a vampire named Robert. And we went to this sketchy graveyard in outskirts of Grants Pass, tucked away in the woods. There's like people buried there who died in like 1895. And
earlier than that.
The most eerie, like mist fog going through the graves. And we're out there at 6 a.m. and we're running around in a Steve Irwin costume and a Dracula costume.
I'll admit it was pretty sketchy that morning that we were there.
The special effects when you drank the Vampire Slayer and you just blew it up.
Nobody blows up.
That was wrong.
That was directly the same effect that I used back in high school.
Please watch it. So being 2 years in now, what keeps inspiring you to continue and grow?
The team that I work with is awesome. Like, I love all of you guys. And you inspire me to continue working hard just to like be a part of this team and contribute and do some really cool stuff together. Mm-hmm. I also feel like my gifts and my talents were given to me by a higher power. And I feel like I want to use those gifts to serve others and better his kingdom as well.
Noble.
I have a dream of like what I want my life to be. I don't know if I'll ever get to that, but I think loving on people and making good relationships is one of the things that'll help you. Because if they believe in you, they're going to help you get to what your goals are, and you're going to do the same for them.
We had Kyle on a little while ago, and he was talking about something he read from the book The Alchemist, which is essentially just like speak about it, like just put it out there, tell people,
speak it into existence.
Exactly. Right. And then people hear what you're going for, and you're giving yourself great odds to eventually somebody hearing it that could be like, oh, well, I can actually help guide you in this direction to get closer. And just doors just start opening. Also, Bryce talked about it on the last podcast too. Just then other people hold you accountable to be like, hey, aren't you, what happened to that novel you were working on? It's been like 3 years. That novel coming along. Yeah. Yeah. Protagonist. And, maybe he's a little richer for the experience.
No,
I need that kind of motivation.
No, I'm sure you're doing great. Sorry, Stewie reference.
That's a Family Guy reference if you didn't know.
It's so true, though. I need that kind of motivation. Yeah.
Well, sometimes. You finally sent me your script.
Yeah.
So we're getting somewhere.
A little known fact, Ryan is actually making a movie.
Yeah. Trying to.
Trying.
Yes. A short film.
A short film.
Yeah. Hold me accountable. I need to finish reading it. But I want to help you achieve that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I can mic people up. What's a big goal for you here just for the next couple years? There is some exciting news. You put an offer in on a house.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Finally adulting for real.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting and scary and all that fun stuff. Buying my first house.
Yes. Awesome.
Big step.
Yeah. So that's my goal, is to get a house this year. Still want to stay with Dutch Bros. I would like to maybe move into some more leadership roles in the future here.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what that looks like yet, but I think that's one of my big goals for like the next 5 years. Getting married is a huge goal for me. That still hasn't happened.
You hear that, ladies? My single. Man's single here.
Yeah. Looking at a couple of bachelors right there.
I think starting a family would be really cool and important for me. So
I will say 26, it might feel a little old, but trust me, you're not. Plenty of time for the right person to come along.
Yeah, I know I got time.
Oh, you got lots of time.
I'm not worried about it. It'll happen when it happens.
I don't know about Shane, though.
No.
I mean, I know he's younger, but I think he needs to strike now.
Strike. I got to do something. No. What am I doing with my life? I think what's cool about Ryan, I'm about to hype you up so much right now, but he works so hard at Coacha. Like, if you're sitting out there and you see, like, everything popping up on the screen, like, he is, like, the guy who has helped create all of it. Ryan is, like, one of the main driving forces, and, like, he's, like, behind the scenes all day just getting stuff done. I just want to say thank you.
Absolutely.
Because everyone's noticing it. Yeah. And you're just really kicking ass.
I can vouch too, just being part of the studio for almost 4 years now and just seeing like the level of stuff go up, yeah, like with your contribution. This guy's good, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Freaking Jedi.
So, Ryan, we like to always cap these things off. If you could give any advice to any young barista, what could you possibly tell them?
Man, if you have a dream, like, keep pursuing it, because life is way too short to just like settle.
Yeah.
Love on people, build relationships, pursue your dream, because that is what's going to fulfill you. It's going to be hard sometimes, and a lot of people are going to tell you that you can't do it, and they're going to say, well, I don't know, it's too expensive, whatever.
Yeah.
But the reason they say that is probably because they don't have a dream to follow, and they're jealous.
That, yeah, I think there's some truth to that. Or, you know, sometimes people just fall victim to being overly cautious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
take risks.
You gotta risk it to get the biscuit, somebody once said.
Taking risks is way more fun and exciting. Mm-hmm. I've had to learn that, because like I said, I'm an introvert, so I take calculated risks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I feel like it's gonna benefit me, I'll probably do it.
Yeah. You went out on a venture to do some freelance stuff and it didn't go accordingly.
Right.
But like you picked yourself back up and you landed here and everything's been awesome and all for the better.
Your short-term failures don't determine your long-term success.
Right.
Ooh, well said.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. If I didn't fail, then I would have not ended up where I am now.
True that. Well, Dutch Nation, you heard it here first.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Haberman, a.k.a. Weston Flexman, a.k.a. Haby Baby, is single and soon to be a homeowner, ladies. And he's really creative and funny and handsome.
One of the funniest people I know. Thank you for listening to another installment of the Dutch Bros Podcast. We love you so much.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.